Latest guidelines set out how courts should consider mitigating circumstances which could indicate an unstable upbringing when determining punishments for children and teenagers aged 10 to 17. They emphasise the need to avoid criminalising under 18s, custodial sentences seen as a last resort. Malcolm Richardson is National Chairman of the Magistrates Association. Let's start with just how important you work in the field, Mr. Richardson. How important are these guidelines? How much are they observed by folk like yourself and judges? Good morning.
Good morning. They're absolutely followed because Parliament has said that we have to follow them unless it wouldn't be in the interests of justice to do so. So absolutely, they are vitally important to the work we do day in, day out.
How do you react to what they've heard so far?
Actually, it's just a formalisation of what has been common practice before.
So a youth appears before you or one of your colleagues, let's say for taking and driving a wear car, if that's still called TDA, I don't know, but it used to be when I was a journalist, in courts. So what do you do then? You say, well, what's the background of this 15-year-old boy then? Is that what happens?
What you start off with is looking at the seriousness of the offence.
Right.
That's the first thing, and that's where you start.
Right.
And it's only after you've looked at that and seen if there are any mitigating or factors which make it more serious, you know, was it somebody else's car, was it their mum's car, it was after a fit of pique and a row at home, etc.
Right.
And only after you've looked at all of those and determined, therefore, where you're going to start in terms of thinking about sentence, that you then think about the circumstances of the offender. And things like, you know, whether it's a first offence or whether this individual has got a string of offences already on their record, is something which I'm sure all of your listeners would think is perfectly reasonable to look at. That somebody that's in court for the very first time, you would treat them differently. They get a different sentence from someone who'd been in there many times before.
So you have a repeat offender, a 14-year-old, who's taken and driven away everybody's car that he can possibly find. Do you then look at the fact that he came from what used to be known as a broken home or a bad background or however it might work?
Well, you've got to look at the circumstances of the individual, and what these guidelines are saying is, just more formally, that's a factor you need to take into account, and you should formally consider. You may dismiss it, because you may decide that balanced against the fact that this is the 15th car he's taken, is something which says, okay, those background and those circumstances are irrelevant in this case, because he's already had plenty of opportunities. He's already had lots of interventions with people with a more social work orientation, if I can put it that way, someone who has tried to help, tried to rehabilitate, tried to prevent reoffending. And at some point, you will get to the point where you've got to say punishment has to come first. But you've got to look at that based upon the circumstances of the individual. And I don't think anyone would argue that children who come from circumstances which are less than ideal, whether that's because they've been taken into care, whether it's because they've had problems with an abusive parent, whatever those might be, educational disadvantage, that you should take those into account when considering what the right disposal is for this particular child, given that the overarching principle for sentencing youths, and this is established by Parliament, not by the Sentencing Council, is the prevention of offending and reoffending. And the welfare of the child that you have in front of you. That's the difference between under and over 18.
So that's the social side. Let's talk about the ethnic background. How and when is it appropriate to explore that?
That clearly is a more difficult area because that goes to issues like responses to authority and so on.
What do you mean by that?
Well, there are those who would say that there are certain ethnic communities whose, particularly amongst young men, that their culture is that they are much more challenging of authority figures than some other ethnic groups would be.
But shouldn't the law be even-handed, applied to one and all?
Yes, it should. Yes, it should.
And yet I sense it's not here.
It doesn't mean that you shouldn't take into account the circumstances and background of the offender that you have in front of you.
But if you've got a lippy lad who's launched a volley of abuse at a series of police officers and nicked one of their helmets or whatever it might be, it doesn't make a blind bit of difference whether he's white, black or bit between, does it?
I would fundamentally agree with you. Yes.
Ah, so we don't need these guidelines then?
No, I think the guidelines are helpful because it helps people.
Hang on, we agree we didn't need them.
No, I agree with you that that one needs to consider where ethnicity comes within the list of things which you are considering when you are considering the offender in front of you and dealing with them as an individual when you are going about your sentencing.
Right.
But it's not the Sentencing Council is saying it's not in irrelevance either, any more than it is in any other part of the criminal justice system.
So lastly, a black lad and a white lad are in front of you or one of your colleagues as magistrates or indeed a judge, and they've got exactly the same. Both of them were abusive to police officers. Both of them ran off with police officers' helmets. They're both going to get the same sentence, yes?
Probably, but the probability that you actually have two people who are absolutely identical is pretty remote. So it's a fairly theoretical question, Nick.
I've enjoyed your time. Thank you, Mr. Richardson. Malcolm Richardson, your National Chairman of the Magistrates Association. Surely justice must be blind, mustn't it? Literally. It can't be right. Oh, he's a black lad, and he stole a policeman's hat. Oh, that's a bit different, isn't he? Now, I get the social background, absolutely. Some lad who's never had a father figure. I keep saying lads, why don't I? I mean, girls commit crimes as well. Some lad who's never had a father figure in his life comes from a really poor background in every sense of the word. I don't just mean poor financially, because it doesn't mean that you're going to be a criminal because you have a poor background. There are millions of fantastic, hard-working families, nothing in the bank whatsoever, who'd never dream of committing any crime. I mean poor parenting. I get that. But surely not when it comes to ethnicity. You'll have views on that. We are talking dress codes, or possibly lack of dress codes. Petra is embarking. You're